Christ showed himself. They were together, Simon Peter. He's telling you the disciples that were there. Thomas, called Didymus. Nathanael of Cana in Galilee. And the sons of Zebedee, you know, that's James and John. And two other of the disciples. And then verse 3, Simon Peter said to them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Look at verse 4, it's my text. But when the morning was now come, when light came in the darkness. See, they were out in the dark all night. See, when you're away from God, you're always in the dark. And when Jesus shows up, light always springs forth. But when the morning was now come, boy, this just got a hold of me, Annie. I've preached from this passage lots of times, but the Lord gave me a thought here. Jesus stood on the shore. That's the title of the message. Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Let's read that one more time, verse 4. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. What a sad thing. They could see him, he could see them, but they didn't know it was their Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to me about this. I sure want to be a blessing today. Lord, now I pray that Holy Ghost of God, come down and move up and down the aisles. I pray that you'll move Christian's heart to draw all of us closer to you. And if there's anyone that doesn't know you as Savior, may they see Christ as the risen, real Savior that they truly need to get to heaven. Help us to sense your presence and know your presence today. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Today I want us to learn a lesson from Peter and those disciples that Christ met with there. By the way, many times we can learn from the disciples. You know why we can learn from those disciples? Because in many ways, we are just like them, and they are just like us. Duh. Amen? Now, please note, in verse 1 and 2, Jesus is with Peter and the disciples after his resurrection. We didn't read it, but in chapter 20, he had just met them earlier. Remember, after 8 days, he went. Remember, Thomas said, "If I don't see his hands, I'm not going to believe." And Christ appeared to him. So this is about the third time that he's appeared to him. Though this ain't the first time they've seen him after the resurrection. But notice in verses 1 and 2, Jesus is with Peter, James, and John, and Nathanael, and the sons of Zebedee, and things like that. And can you imagine? Here's what I got. Can you imagine the sweet fellowship they had? How many think they had sweet fellowship? I'm going to tell you. Can you imagine the excitement and joy, Mike? Think about the excitement and joy of being with Christ. Think about the excitement and joy and their hearts being lifted up while they were so close with Jesus. I mean, he was right, Mark, he was right there among them. Can you imagine how their hearts were so warm and lifted up? How many can imagine that? I mean, there's a lesson for us to learn from that. There's always a blessing and joy being in the presence of your Savior. You see, they were in the presence of their Savior, and they were blessed because of his presence. We're always blessed when his presence is with us. You know, I thought of that song, Annie. I think you sing it. So, talked about in the garden. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. That's the kind of joy you have when you're with the presence of your Savior in the garden. How many know what I'm talking about, being in the garden with the Lord? There's nothing like it, is there? It's a sweetness, and there's a freshness, and there's a fragrance, and there's a joy that's overwhelming. There really is, in the presence of our Savior. Then look at verse 3. And this is what really got me. Brian, they go from this sweet joy and presence and fragrance and joy and excitement and thrilling and all the exuberance. They're there one moment, and it seems like we're on a pinnacle one moment, and the next thing, boom. I mean, up and down. How many ever had been on a roller coaster? They even took Tammy and the kids to the up there in Cleveland. They had one of them buildings there. They had some X Center or something like that, IX or. And they went on roller coasters, and even Lukey got there. He said, "Yeah, Grandpa got my belly," you know. And but they had fun going on the roller coasters and things like that, you know. But that's, you ever notice those roller coasters? That's kind of a picture of the Christian life sometimes. We're up and we're down. We're up and we're down. How many know what I'm talking about? We're happy and we're sad. We're glad and we're mad. How many know what I'm talking about? We have faith and we don't have faith. He loves me, now he hates me. He cares, now he don't care no more. How do you know what I'm saying? So we go in verse 1 and 2, we go from the presence of the joy of being in the garden with Christ, if I can use that as an illustration from the song, to verse 3. Look at verse 3. Simon Peter said, and there ain't that much time in between. Evidently, Jesus went somewhere. Simon Peter said to them, "I go fishing." They said to him, "We also go with thee." Don't you ever notice something? When we go off to the world, when we turn our back on Christ, those around us, there's a good chance we'll take others down with us. They went forth and entered into a ship, and immediately, and that night, isn't this somehow the Bible kind of gives you truth? Just reading a verse. When you walk away from God, when you get caught up with the flesh, when you care about the world more than you do about the creator of the world, when you care more about the things of the world than you do the things of God, you just mark her down. You are in darkness. And that night they caught nothing. And by the way, when we walk in the flesh, our whole life is wasted. All the time we walk in the flesh, all the time we walk in darkness, we bear no fruit. And I'm going to tell you, we always come up empty and worse off than what we were. It's amazing. In verse 3, even though they had that sweet joy, they soon forgot the blessing and joy when they were in Christ's presence. And they're quickly lured back into the world, which takes them away from his presence. And when you go, when you leave the presence of the Lord, you lose his blessings and you lose that joy. Let me give you some thoughts about Peter. Peter went back into the old way of life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." When we get saved, you know what? God makes a new creation out of our life. God says, "I'm going to change your life." Listen, we don't change from the outside in. We change from the inside out. That's why that song, "He's Still Working on Me." He starts a great thing inside your heart when he comes in and saves your soul, and then he starts working on you. He starts cleaning your temple up, your body. Are you with me on the bad things that we have in our life? Notice, he went back to his old ways of life. You know, a lot of times, we got to be careful. Look up here, Christians. A lot of times, even though we're saved, we go back to those old things. We forget that we're a new creation in Christ. And we let the elements of the world and the flesh take us away from the things of God. And Peter, Brother Bobby, Peter lost the vision that Christ gave him to reach souls for men. In Matthew 4:19, he says, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." Hey, Brother Mike, he lost that purpose. He lost that vision because he wasn't going out soul winning. They can call that boat visitation if they want, but he wasn't doing it. On May 24th, Pastor Dave and I and Dr. Anderson and Dr. Monty Watson and a bunch of preachers, we're going to go out in Lake Erie. There's a preacher down in Southern Ohio that's booking a thing for a bunch of preachers. We're going to go out fishing that day for walleyes on May 24th, Pastor Dave's birthday. And we're going to call that boat. I told Brother Monty, I said, "Dr. Watts, we're going to call that boat visitation that day." Amen? I thought it was fun. But I guarantee, even though I'll be taking tracks with me, and everywhere I go, stopping at gas stations, stopping getting bait, I'll be passing out the word of God. I'm not going to take a vacation on God. Amen? You can still have fun, still serve the Lord. But Peter lost his vision that Christ had gave him. He just earlier told him, go out the whole world and reach the world for Christ. He just gave him the great command to go out. Here he is, I was already, Brian, duh. He forgot it. Boy, you know what? Isn't it amazing how fast we can turn our thoughts away from the Lord? Peter took his focus off Jesus and placed his focus on worldly things above the things of Christ. Look up here, church. You need to listen to me. In this world that we live in, with all the lures of the flesh and things, we need to be very careful that we don't get lured in with the flesh and taken away from the things of God that God wants us so much to have in our life. Peter took his focus off Jesus and placed his focus on worldly things. Peter's sin not only affected his own life, but those around him. They said, "We also go with thee." Verse 3. And they, by the way, if you look, they caught nothing. When we live in the flesh and go after the worldly things of the flesh, we always end up at the end with nothing. I know Christians that have walked away from God. They used to serve God. Couldn't wait to come to church. Couldn't wait to bring people to church. Couldn't wait to see people get saved. And now they're not even in church. Now they don't even read their Bible. Now they don't even talk to the Lord. Now they don't even bring anyone to hear about Christ. Their whole life is going empty, 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 and wasted and void. Because they were walking in the light, and now they've been taken up and caught up in darkness. We can learn from these fishermen. How many see the picture there? Because at the end of the day and at the end of your life, if you walk in the flesh and you don't live for Christ, you're going to come. Oh, if you're saved, you're going to go to heaven. Now, you're saved, but you're not going to have nothing to show. No fruit, which God said he wants us to have. He said, "I want you to bear fruit and much fruit and more fruit." Now, look at verse 4 of my text. There's three things I want you to see. Three things about this, and I'm going to ask you three questions. Look at verse 4. But when the morning was now come, boy, thank God for light. You ever notice, not only does Jesus give us eternal life, but he gives us light to walk in. Amen? His word's a light unto our steps. Amen? It's a path. But when the morning was now come, watch this. And this is what got me, Brian. Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. He was in view. They saw him. He was close enough that they could see him. Because the next verse, he talks to them. Are you with me? Like, it's not like they had to have a telescope to say, who is that? Give me those binoculars. Who is that on that shore? No, they were coming in close to the shore. They saw him. They heard him. But the Bible says that Jesus stood on the shore there in verse 4. And he saw the disciples, But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Here's the first question. I'm going to ask you three questions. Can you see him? Number one, when Jesus stands on the shore with you, can you see him? You know, by the way, he always sees us. We never get out of his sight. It's the trouble with us that we get so caught up in the world, he gets out of our sight because we have our focus on something else. That's what the Bible says, set your affections on things above, not on things in the world. You know, listen, the disciples were so caught up with the worldly things, they lost their focus for Jesus. Jesus had his eye on them, but they were not looking for Jesus. They were not thinking about Jesus. They were not talking about Jesus. Matter of fact, they had toiled all night in darkness, because that's where the world leads you, to dark places, away from God, without his presence. How many are still with me? And Brother Bobby, they come out of darkness and light shows up, Christ. He said, I'm the light of the world. And by the way, I'm sure they were tired. Andrew, I'm sure they were tired. They fished all night. See, when you're out in the world, it's hard on the flesh. The way of the transgressor is hard, the Bible says. And I see these disciples worn out, coming out of darkness, just now starting to come into light. And here their Savior is, they're saved. And their Savior's standing there, reaching out to them, and they don't even know it's Jesus. Hey, that's a picture of Christians today. There's so many Christians that walk so far away from God, walk away in the world, get so caught up in the things of the world, that even though Christ is there and calling, they don't see him. They don't focus on him. They don't even know he's standing there. That Jesus blended in with the crowd. They just thought he was another person. They were so far away from Christ in spirit and in mind that even when Jesus was there on the shore, they did not recognize their Savior. And that's how Christians get when they get so caught up in worldly things. Look up here. You get so caught up in the worldly things. Even when Christ tries to approach you, you're not even going to know he's there. Sin stops. The Bible will keep us from sin, or sin will keep us from the Bible. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to thy word thereto. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I'm going to tell you right now, they did not recognize their Savior. You know, the morning came, light came, and yet they didn't see their Savior. Many Christians get so far away from God, they get so caught up in the world, so far in darkness and sin, that when Jesus is present with them, they don't even recognize his presence. The disciples lost his presence. I'm trying to give you a thought here. I know I'm repeating myself. The greatest teacher is repetition. Yeah, that guy's getting old. He keeps repeating. No, I know exactly what I'm doing. I heard a guy one day, he preached a message. He came in, he preached on John 3:16. The next week, he preached on John 3:16. 3 weeks in a row, he preached on John 3:16. One deacon said, hey, did you know you're preaching on John 3:16 every service? He said, I know. And I'm going to keep preaching until you get it. They didn't even recognize. Listen, do you see him? Some of you might be so far away from God today. You're drifting away. Some of you, look, I know God gave me this. You need to hear this. I need to hear it. Some of you are drifting away from the shore. Some of you are drifting away from the shore, and you're getting where you don't see the and sense the presence of Christ anymore. Oh, you're still in church. You're still hanging on. But some of you are just hanging on by a thread. Others have already left. I know some that I've loved that I saw them slowly. I corrected them last week, and they're just slowly and slowly continually getting away from the shore, getting away from God. Oh, Christ is still there calling. But you know what? We say, no, I don't care what we're going to do, what we want to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to tell you, that's the wrong attitude to have. Not my will, Lord, but thine. You know, do you see him working in your life today? Let me ask you something. In verse 1 and 2, they had the joy of his presence. Do you have the joy? Can I ask you something today? Do you have the joy of his presence in your life right now? Do you have the joy of his presence? You think about it. Then number 2, I'm asking you 3 questions. First of all, do you see him when he's on the shore? Second of all, do you hear his voice? They were told, Jesus told them to cast their net on the right side. You see, when they were so far gone out in the darkness that they finally came into some light, and when they focus on the light and go on the right side, look what he said there. Jesus said to them, do you have any meat? They answered, no. Look at verse 6. The reason they had no meat, because they're out going against the will of God. Empty, void, in darkness. Some of you don't have any meat. Because I'm not talking about something to eat. I'm not talking about a McDonald's hamburger right now. Some of you, that's why you were, oh yeah, I'm talking about beef stew or some spaghetti. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about spiritual meat, spiritual food right now. They were spiritually bankrupt. And he said to them, cast thy net on the right side. How many see that? Verse 6. Cast on the right. See, when you get to the right, when you get your life focused and start looking towards Christ, and you get on the right side, the Lord's side. I don't think it really meant, I know it says right side, I'm not trying to, but the truth, I'm seeing a greater truth. In other words, just be on the side where God wants you to be. Be where God wants you to be. By the way, when they were out there in that darkness, they could have, I don't care where they were, they weren't where God wanted them to be. And he said, I want to get you in the right place. Get on the right side. Get on the Lord's side, and you'll see you'll catch some fish. I like what Bobby put on this teen thing and on the internet with our website for the teens. He put Joshua 24:15, if I remember. He said, choose you this day whom you will serve. You teenagers, I know you're young, but you got to make a decision. Who are you going to serve? You going to serve the world and the drugs and alcohol and junk and sex? By the way, you adults, you're the same way. You're no different than the kids. And by the way, if the kids would see the adults serve more, maybe they'd want to serve. The trouble is, we got a bunch of poor examples. Don't yell at the kids. They need to see it out of us. Do what I say, not what I do. Hogwash. You ought to be an example of Christ so your kids will learn how to do it. And not only that, desire to do it. You see, they were on the wrong side all the time when they're away from God. See, a lot of you keep trying to do stuff and you wonder, why am I going around in a circle? Why am I coming? Because you're on the wrong side. You're not doing what God, you're not where God wants you to be. You see. So, whose side are you on today? Joshua made the challenge to the people of Israel. Choose you this day. And I'm going to tell you right now, Bethel, you need to choose. Either I'm going to serve God or I'm going to serve Satan. Either I'm going to serve God or I'm going to serve the flesh. And that's where it's at. And you know what? We better start to, this country, we're losing this country. And I, Cap, I'm going to tell you right now, God got a hold of me. Billy, we used to pray for revival, and I am. But I'm going to tell you something. I believe this with all my heart. I see America fastly going farther and farther away from God. I see the judge the other day said, we can't even have a national day of prayer. You know what? Do you know why they're saying those? You know why they're doing things, letting queers get married and stuff like that? No, you know why? Because the Christians haven't taken a stand. See, righteousness exalts a nation. Sin's a reproach to any people. The Bible says, when in Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people mourn. I'm going to tell you, we got wicked leaders in our country. And by the way, we've had a bunch of wicked leaders. It just didn't happen with the one just came in. He's adding more to it. But we had him before he got there. And I'm going to tell you why. Because we don't walk with God. Because we don't have holiness. This is right. And the world reflects what we do. When you stand for holiness, I'm going to tell you, it affects people. But see, if the people of God don't have holiness, how can you have a country with holiness? I'm going to tell you right now, Billy, if we don't have a national revival, there better be a fire. There better be a fire of holiness get a hold of my life and your life and churches like our church all around the country. Because I'm going to tell you right now, Billy, if we don't, America's going under. Because we're so far away from God right now. The only hope America's got is to get back on the right side. And the sad part is, Brian, I see people, and I'm talking about what was supposed to be the good people, and they don't even see it. Hello? How many are still with me? They were on the wrong side. Our country needs to come back to the Lord's side. Many Christians need to come back to the Lord's side. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven. You're not going to do nothing until we do. He's all right. You're young, Josh. All the older folks before you kids that are young, we messed it up for you. See, if we'd have kept righteousness in America, these liberal, evil leaders in our country that hate God, that hate the Bible, that hate the things of God, they would never got elected. See, I'm going to get you mad. I don't care, Flip. I don't care, Cap. I might die today anyways. I'm going to take a few with me. I went down to that tea party. And by the way, you better forget about Republican and Democrat. Yes, amen. I went down there Friday or Thursday, and there was about 400 people there, I guess. I signed up. You better forget about being a Democrat. You better forget about being a Republican. We better find some people that are holy and upright, yes, that want to get back to God. And we better forget politics. And we better start voting people in that will stand for the things that are right. That's the trouble with... if they're not a Democrat, I'm not going to vote for them. That's the problem. Oh, if they're not a Republican, I'm not going to vote for them. That's the problem. You know, don't bring your politics to church hanging in your ear. You say, I never heard anything. Keep on. You'll hear more from me. Because I'm going to tell you something. all separate from church and state. Listen, every one of us are supposed to be good citizens. And if you don't get in your local communities and promote righteousness and holiness and sound government, you won't have sound government. We need to demand it, but we need to live it and ask for it. But see, so many of you don't care. And you'll vote for those liberals because some union will tell you or some other people. Do what the Bible says. I won't vote for anybody that will have abortions. I won't vote for a candidate that backs abortion because God says abortion's murder. I'm not going to vote for people that think it's right to be married if you're a man with man, woman with woman. That's an abomination to God. So the Bible says. The Bible says not even nature itself teaches it's wrong. You don't see two male horses going together. Hello? That is pretty cool, but listen, it's about time we get, look at Bethel. I'm really, I was telling one of our deacons that I'm really afraid for America. And I've got 5 grandkids. Listen, according to the Bible, I've got at least 10 years or so yet, whenever God calls me. But the majority of my life is gone. And I'm going to live whatever God gives me. But I'm going to tell you right now, Johnny, you had your family here a couple weeks ago. Your great grand, your babies. If America don't get turned around, Betty. If your little babies, your grand. If we don't get Emma. If we don't get America turned back to God, I'm going to tell you right now, these kids and our grandkids, they're not going to have an America to go to. Amen. It's all because people have walked away from the Lord. See, you're Christians. Look up here. It's Christians. Don't blame the world. Don't blame the world. It's us. We're the light of the world. Listen, righteousness exalts a nation. If we would keep the righteousness up, our nation would go up. It's just that we're just like the disciples. We just go back out in the world with the rest of them. We're walking in darkness instead of light. Isn't this good preaching? I hope you hear his voice today. Christians need to get back on the right side where God wants us. Did you notice when they were in darkness of the world? Oh, look at this. Man, I saw this. I didn't look at this, Brian. When they were in the darkness of the world, their nets were empty. Hey, when you're not living for God, how many souls do you win? How many missionaries do you help? How many prayers do you lift up? How much do you give for the work of God? You ever notice when you're out in darkness, when you're out in the world, you don't produce nothing for God. They caught no fish. But as soon as they got to the place, Mike, as soon as they got on the right side, Billy, as soon as the disciples got on the right side, Brother Bobby, as soon as they got on the right side, their nets were full. You wonder why our nets are not full? We're not walking. We're not in the right side where God wants us to be. And you know some of you, you know I'm telling you the truth. You know some of you do things that you know God says it's not right. You got bad habits and you know God said it's wrong. And yet you still keep doing them. You don't pray. You don't read your Bible. You look at the filth and the pornography. And you know I'm telling you the truth. You know I'm telling you the truth. And you don't care. You're still fishing out in the dark. And that's why your nets are empty. See, did you get the truth there? When you get on the right side, their nets were full. Jesus said in Matthew 4:19, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. See, when we get right where the Lord wants us, we're going to see those fish. We're going to see those souls come in. Can anyone say amen? Let me ask you something today. What side of the boat are you on today? Are you on the left side or the right side? Are you on the worldly side or the spiritual side? Are you on the side that God wants? Or is your life on the side where you want? I don't care what you say, preacher. I'm going to do it my way. Go ahead, do it your way. But you're going to come up empty. You're never going to have full nets like God wants you to have. John, then verse 7, John says to Peter, "It's the Lord!" Did you get this? Look at this, Brian. Jesus, Ruthie, I saw this. He saw him, he heard him, and he still didn't know it was Christ. But he obeyed. And once he obeyed, God came into their vision. How many are still with me? John says to Peter, "Wow! It's the Lord!" He should have known that seven verses back. Hello? Here's what I thought, Cap. Carl, I thought, what does God have to do in our lives? Look up here. What does God have to do in your life to get your attention? What does God have to do in my life to get my attention? So that we'll be on the right side of the old ship of Zion. Did you notice also that Peter was naked? And that's what the world does to you. It strips you of all your holiness. It strips you of your righteousness. It strips you of your reputation for God. It denies you the things that God wants for you. And then it said, Peter grabbed his fisherman coat. See, God gives us that. He realized he needs that coat of righteousness. Jesus is the one who gives us that righteousness, amen? That imputed righteousness, that garment of righteousness. How many know what I'm saying? And then I got a kick out of this. He grabbed his coat because he realized he was naked. He realized he'd turned his back on God. He realized he'd sinned against God. He realized he took other people down with him. He realized he was going in the wrong direction. He realized that he let God down. And he realized he was naked and sinful and wrong before God. He put the coat on the cover, because we need the covering of Christ's righteousness. And then he jumps in the water. And I thought of the scripture in Ephesians. Ephesians 5:26. That he might sanctify and cleanse us with the washing of the water by the word. You know what we need today, Christians? We need to jump into the water of the word and let God. We need to be like Peter and jump in the water of the word of God. And you need to start reading your Bible. Start reading your, and so let God can clean us up. Oh, God, I'm filthy. I'm wrong. I got too much of the world on me. God, clean me up. God, clean me up. God, give me a pure heart. The right heart. A good spirit. That's what you know I'm telling you the truth. He jumped in the water. Now, number one, do you see him? Number two, do you hear his voice? And number three, last one, what is he saying and asking you this morning? Do you see him? Do you see him on the shore? Do you hear his voice? What's he saying? And in asking you, in Peter's case, three times, in John 21, 15, 16, and 17, he asked him three times the same question. Lovest thou me? I wonder today if Christ is saying to you and I that have been out in the ship in the darkness on the wrong side. Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? You know, see, God wants to see real devoted love to him. God don't want half-hearted love. He doesn't want hot and cold. He doesn't want up and down. God wants a consistent love. You kids, look up here. You say, I never. Listen, I love these kids. Someone needs to love these kids. You say, boy, I can't believe you. Why? Let them go and let them give their soul to Satan and let them go to hell? They need someone to say, I love you. I care about you. I want you. I'm giving you the precious word of God, the gift of eternal life. Listen to me. What I'm telling these kids are more important than anything in the world. You better believe I care about those kids. Boy, I slowed down. You asked me when I was really young. Whew. Oh, when I was young, I'd pick even kids as big as you, Andrew, pick you right up and shake them. But I've mellowed out. You get old and you got to mellow out. I'm cuckoo for cookie crisp or something like that. Whatever that, there's a cereal that you go, something Billy gave me that I can't get it out of my heart now. Cocoa Crisp or something like that. Cocoa Puffs. I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. God wants a consistent love. Do we have a consistent love for him? He wants a constant love. He wants a continuous love. You see, to be honest with you, including me, we don't give it to him. I don't know about you, but I fall short many times. What kind of love do you have for Jesus today? What's he saying to you today? Is there something in your life that he's not happy with? Is he calling to you today? Can you see him on the shore? Can you hear his voice? What's he telling you right now? I hope you'll tell whatever he's telling you. I hope you'll come to the altar and talk to him and say, Dear God, I've been out there, but I'm like Peter. I heard you. I see you now. I'm coming back and I'm going to start getting on the right side. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, help us. Help us to get on the right side. Oh God, help us to see you when you're standing near us. Help us to hear you when you speak to us. Help us to answer you when you ask us something. I wonder this morning, how many would say, Pastor, while you preach, God spoke to my heart. No one's looking. You'd say, Preacher, I'm not on the right side. Lately, I've been on the right side. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Just lift your hand. Pray for me. Yes. Who else? Yes. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Who else? I've not been on the right side. Pray for me. No one's looking. Yes. Yes. God, yes, ma'am. God bless you. If you're going to get baptized, come ahead. If you're going to get baptized, come right now. You that are saved, you're going to get baptized. Come right now. You that are going to be baptized. Maybe you're and you've never been saved. You don't want to die and go to hell. You say, Preacher, I've never asked Christ to save my soul. I'm not talking about getting baptized. I'm not talking about joining the church. I'm talking about knowing you're a lost sinner. You're going to die without Christ. And you don't want to die and go to hell. And you take Christ as your Savior and say, Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And Pastor, I'd really like to know when I died. I'd really like to know when I die, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Who just raised? Let me pray for you. Who'd say, Preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'd like to know. Pray for me. Anyone like that? Pastor, I'm not sure if I died. Pray for me. I'm not sure. Preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, and I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. Christian, I beg of you. Come out of the world. Come out of the world. Get back towards the shore of God. Get on the right side. Get on the right side. Father, I pray with all my heart. You saw every hand and more. You saw every heart. And I pray, dear God, that you would help us. Oh God, I pray that my life will be revived, that I can start a national revival here at Bethel Baptist. America needs help. America needs holiness. America needs Christians to come back to the cross. America needs Christians to love Christ again and to hate the world. America needs Christians to have convictions and not compromise their convictions. Oh God, so many people have compromised their convictions. I pray with all my heart. Oh God, I pray with all my heart. You'd help us, I ask in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. People are praying. You might want to come. You come right now.